soapbox is the Bible. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you love God? Love our nation? I'm so glad to be an American. Why? I've been all over the world. I know what it is. Dear Lord, if you don't like America, I'll send you over to India and let you stay about 3 weeks. You'll kiss Donald Trump in the mouth when you get back. Or anybody else that's president. You'll kiss Nancy Pelosi in the mouth. Well, you'd be glad to be home. Hallelujah. I've been over there. I know. Praise the Lord. Look with me in Psalms chapter 8. Hallelujah. God is a good God. You think I'll ever have a mega church? I would have, I didn't. Thank you, Jesus. We got off on this Friday night, my attempts to preach on this or clarify some of this or the way I think and meditate. I meditated many hours on this one scripture and meditated on God. Who is God? You know, I thought much about God. Who is God? You know, and we'll think foolish things, which is no answer to them. Like, where'd God come from? You know, when did he start? Does God have a God? Does God have a family? Does God have, are there anything or anybody but God, above God? When did he start? You know, that's why the Bible, you have to believe it by faith. You just have to have faith. You cannot reason God scientifically or anyway. You cannot find God through science. You can if you open-minded and look in and let science prove to you there is a God. But if you go into it believing that science is going to convince you, you can't. God's God by himself. He's out there. You know, and you have to just believe. You can't say, well, how did God, where did God come from? Well, the Bible says God always has been. It says he's the beginning and the end at the same time. Now, figure that out. He's the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega, the beginning at the end. The same time. He where God is, there's no time. It's just always now with God. Time stops. That's why in eternity, when we get there, you're there. It don't get old. It don't wear out, never changes. It's there. It's always now in God. That's why it says, the Bible says, now faith is. Because it's now. It's always now. It never changes. God's God. God is in himself male and female, if you want to put it that way. He's father and mother. He has the ability within himself to create. He creates. He made everything. Everything God made. Well, what were the before God created, or were there things, and did it start? Who knows? I mean, the Bible doesn't give us any insight to that. You'll never know that, because I don't think there's any answer to that. We just have to accept it by faith. But in the midst of all of that, here the psalmist David says, O Lord, verse 1, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Above the heavens? Wow. I told him Friday night, I preached a message one time, a long time ago, how big is God? And I got the message out of an encyclopedia. How big is God? And I just read some things out of the encyclopedia about the universe, how big the universe is, and how many stars, and how big the stars, and the earth, and all that. How big is that, and how vast is that? They tell us, today scientists do, that they think there is 100 billion solar systems. I mean, how can they make that statement? You know, they got that big telescope, you know, that Hubble, and it looks out, and they just keep seeing. Well, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, and also in 2 Peter, that the universe is laid out like you lay paper, stack paper. That's how the universe is laid out. That's how solar systems, just one on top of the other. And how vast they are, no one knows. And it says here that his glory is above the heavens. Out past all of that is God. He sets above all of it. Well, that's a long way. How long does it take to get there? One heartbeat. You'll be there in one heartbeat. He sits in the sides of the north. He says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but it doesn't say about the north, because promotion comes from the north, because God sits in the north, sides of the heavens. If you look at the north star, that's pointed toward his throne. That's where his throne is. And he sits above the heavens, looking down on all of it. Out of the mouth and babes and nursing infants, you've ordained strength because of your enemies. They have, that you may silence the enemy. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the work of your fingers. Let's see what I can make sense out of some of this stuff I wrote down. The Milky Way has a diameter, which is our solar system. No, it's our galaxy. I get that mixed up every time. It's 100,000 light years, contains 100 billion stars. Light travels at 6 billion miles a year. Distance across the Milky Way, or that galaxy, if you travel the speed of light, it would take you 100,000 years to cross the Milky Way. 100,000 years across the Milky Way. Now, that's big. Then the scientist now says, I read one place said there's 50 billion galaxies, and one place I read said they thought there was 100 billion galaxies. Now, I just read you about our galaxy, and our solar system is in this galaxy, right? We're 93 million miles away from the sun. See, something else I wrote down good. If I can find it. Oh, that's why I already read that. I wish I could take good notes. Praise the Lord. Let's see. Our sun. Let me see where I wrote this down. It's really good. The earth revolves around the sun. Sun is a star, right? They says there's over 100 billion stars. There's one star that they estimate is 650 light years away. One star. That's how far it is. We're 93 million miles away from our star, the sun. That's what keeps us going. You can put, let's see, sun is 865,000 miles in diameter. Sun could contain 1.3 million Earths. That's how big the sun is. That's big. You know, I probably made a mess reading all this, but if you get one thing out of it, it's big. And that's just our solar system. And with our sun, they say if we was just a little closer, we'd freeze to death, or we'd burn up. If we was a little far away, we'd freeze to death. They said if the Earth's crust was just a little thinner, that there'd be no gravity. We couldn't stay here. They said, I read something said if the oceans were so much more deep that it would create a lot of carbon monoxide, and we couldn't breathe. Isaiah said he made a mark and said the oceans would go no further. They never get full. The oceans never get full. Yeah. He took a grain of sand in one hand, a drop of water in the other's hand, Isaiah said, and he balanced the universe. He balanced the universe. Every 365 days, the earth goes around the sun. Now, this is one solar system, and they're laid out, according to Hebrews, in sheets. How many are they? Scientists said 50 billion. God sits above that. You can't comprehend God. In the midst of all of that, there's a little old planet called Earth. Out where God's at, you can't see it if you was up there looking. Only God can see it. And on the midst, in the middle of that little old speck there in the middle of the solar system, is a little mud man. You. What Hebrew calls you. The book of Hebrew says in the Hebrew language, he made man out of dust of the earth. He made him out of mud. And it says red. He's red man or mud man. He made you out of mud, made out of the dirt man was. Man is the center of God's world. The Bible says that you are the apple of his eye. That means that you're his affection. You're his heartbeat. You're his master. Master creation. Masterpiece. Corinthians says. His masterpiece. You are. Satan, before he fell, some part of this galaxy, our solar system, I don't know how much of it, the Bible doesn't say, but he ruled. There's a scripture in Psalms that says angels are on different parts of the universe. We don't know. All we know is about where we're at. All we know about is our little peon brain can grab hold of to where we get up and go to work. The sun comes up and it goes down. We're here and it rains and it snows. It's cold and heat. And we just know this. But out beyond what we can see out of our little world, there's something going on. And Satan was in this part of our solar system and the earth was his headquarters. His job was praise and worship leader of this part of the universe. And so he was in charge of the 30, the angels, and he said, I will exalt myself to God's throne and I'll throw him down because I'm great and I'm beautiful and I'm better than God. And he said, I'll take God's place. And God cast him down to the earth. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. The Bible says at the end they'll look upon him and say, is this the one that tormented me? You mean that? says when he fell, he burned on the way down. I saw him fall like lightning. He was on fire. When God cast him out and threw him down to earth, he burned. His beauty was burned up. He's not beautiful now. He was the most beautiful creature. There was none like him. He had the ability to create music and make music. He was the head of the music department. God had the first church split. God did. I told a preacher one time, he was upset because a third of his church left. And where did I fail? Where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? I should have saw it coming. I said, what did God do wrong? What did God do wrong? He had the first church split. A third of his people left him. The angels left him. A third of them. What did he do wrong? What did Jesus do wrong with Judas? You have a Judas. Pretty much you'll always have some Judas or a Absalom or some spirit that either coming or going all the time. And so David goes on and says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. Notice the Bible says by the hand of God, he raised up Jesus. It says here by his fingers, he created the heavens. Just used his fingers. Wonder what he could have created if he'd used both hands. Just by his fingers. How big is God? We're concerned whether or not he can help us pay our light bill. Wow. In the midst of all that, he said, when I consider the works of your fingers, the moon, the stars, and all you have ordained, and he said, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you would visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Psalms 139. Psalms 139, verse 13 through 18. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. See, all these abortionists, could read the Bible, especially those who say they're a Christian. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Talking about Jesus. Now, your eyes saw my substance being unformed, and in your book they were written. In your book they were written. You saw my substance being unformed. They say we're not a living being until we're born. You saw me before I was ever formed. The Bible says before the foundation of the earth, God called us. So how can you say it's not a child if God says before the foundation of the earth, I called you human being. But now we think we have a right to take it, that lie. And in the book you have written my name. Do you know your name was written before the foundation of the earth? When you got born again, your name was not written in the book of life. It was already there. The Bible says if you don't get born again, it will be blotted out. It will be blotted out of the book. It was written before the foundation of the earth. Your name was there. That's why a little baby when it dies, it goes to heaven because its name's there. It's not taken out or not dealt with until you reach the age of accountability. And there's so much depth in all this. God, he's in his foreknowledge, and he knows everything. Nothing surprises God. He knows everything. You can't figure God out. You can't make a doctrine just about how God thinks. You don't know. I mean, his ways are above our ways. His thoughts above our thoughts. He's so vast in his knowledge. He created us just a little lower than angels. Well, we're a little lower now, but when we receive our glorified body, we'll be above angels. We'll be only a little lower than God himself. We'll be on the same plane as Jesus. Because we are being trained now. You're being trained now to rule and reign with him in eternity. Through every test you go through every trial you go through, for everything you go through, you are being trained. That's why the Bible says that you have to mature. These things belong to those who are full age, because he's training you, he's maturing you, he's growing you up, he's putting you through a test to see what position you hold in eternity. Why did God create man? You saw me, you fashioned me, when yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sands. When I awake, I am still with you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And I've thought so many times, why did God create man? I gave this question Friday night. And some said, because he wanted to. He did, that's right, because he brought him pleasure. That's exactly right. He did it because it gave him pleasure. But why exactly were we created? He created angels because they give him pleasure. He created the animals because it gives him pleasure. Created the trees because they give him pleasure. Everything's because it gives him pleasure. But what is man that thou art mindful of him? We're above the animals. We're above the trees. He put all that under subjection of our hands. Why? The Bible says before the foundation of the earth, God called us. He created us. God knew before he created man that man would fall. He knew before he created man that there would be a devil, that there would be a tempter, there would be an enemy. He knew that. He knew before he created us that we would need a redeemer, that his son would have to come and die for us. He knew before he ever created us that would happen. He knew that there would be a lot of people go to hell. He knew that. Yet before he created us, yet he still created man. He knew also that there'd be a lot that would serve him, that would be in his family. And why did God create us? Knowing all that, wasn't he satisfied? Why wasn't he satisfied with the angels? If you ask people why he created us, some will say he needed a family. He did need a family. Or he needed someone to worship him. But he already had something to worship him. He had angels. 24/7 all the time, you know. Holy, holy, holy art thou, Lord God Almighty. They praise him constantly, yet he still needed man. Why? And in my empty attempts Friday night, I tried to explain my thoughts on why he created us. Why did he have to have man? God is love. How do we know God's love? How do we know now, God? How do you and I know God's love? He loved us before we loved him. He died for us yet while we were still sinners. He loved us while we were sinners. He died for us before we ever accepted him. He did all that because he loved us. The universe would not have known the love of God. God's love, he always been love. Does the angels know his love? Sure they know his love. Love has to be expressed. Love cannot be expressed or shown by just buying things or doing things. Why wasn't God just satisfied with the angels? The angels knew. The angels had heaven. The angels had everything. And they knew God. But was the heart of God fully expressed with the angels? You see, just in the angels had everything, but just having things, you still don't know the love. The love is expressed when we give ourselves. Every human being that's born has to give love. We're, by nature, we need love, and by nature, we have to love. That's God's nature. And by wanting to love, we find somebody or something we can give ourselves to. That's why I read in Romans chapter 1 that all creation speaks of God, speaks of God's love. Everything that we see tells us that God is love and the heart of God and the compassion of God. He's shown that through man and through the creation of man and redeeming man. The universe would never have known the love of God without the creation of man, without man living, without man falling, and without a Redeemer coming. God showed the universe how much He loved by giving His self as a sacrifice for His creation. How else would He have shown that? How else could He have shown that? There is no other way. In my opinion, how else could He? You see, in marriage, see, everything, we're the only creatures that God created that marries. Angels don't marry. We are. Why do we do that? We have the ability to create life within us like God. We're created in God's image. Angels were created in His likeness, not in His image. Angels are a spirit, but they don't have a body. Angels cannot be redeemed. The fallen angels that fell, they can't be redeemed. Why not? Because there wasn't a plan of redemption for angels. Only for the fall of man was there a plan. And it was laid out before He ever created anything. Why did He do that? How else could all of His creation know the nature of God? The Bible says nature screams the love of God. So in a marriage, God created it like this. When you get a certain age, you start looking for somebody to love. You start looking for somebody to love you. You search for that. That's why He created the body of Christ. You say, well, I've never been married, never. But still yet, you have a family. You have a body. You have a family. You have somebody to love. And you have somebody that loves you. That's only in human beings. Dogs don't do that. You set one bowl of food down to two dogs, see how much they love. You can buy a $2,000 little foo-foo dog. And he'll act just exactly like that mud I got out of the pound. That's their nature. They're dogs. You can't make humans out of them. I don't care how much Americans try. They're dogs. They can't be redeemed. He made us to love, and He made the man in His image. He made man first, then created the wife, and He made the man to love the wife. The Bible says that the husband should love their wife, and the wife responds to the love. The Bible says God loved us first, then we responded to that love. I didn't love Jesus first. I didn't love Jesus when I got saved. I wasn't looking for somebody to love when I got saved. I got saved out of a selfish motivation. But He saved me because He loved me. He's shown me that love. And He creates man and He creates marriage. And He said, now you go forth and show My nature. You show My nature. What is your nature? You love who I give you. You love your wife. You treat her as the weaker vessel. You treat her like I treat you. Why do you think the devil is always trying to mess something up in the marriage? Always. Because it explains God's love on earth better than anything. To nurture and care. And to love. That's why the man comes in and wants the wife to respond and wants her to do all this. Well, you're supposed to love me. You're supposed to do this. No. You do the loving. She does the responding. Well, it's upside down, man, you know, but that's God's nature. How else are we going to know God's love? Through what is man without mindful of him? God created man. He is the only thing that he created that will rule and reign with him. God, I mean, he's God. He doesn't need anything. But he wanted a partner. He wanted someone like him. We're the only one that's like God in nature. He gave us a free will, knowing a lot of people would reject him and go to hell, but yet he still yet took the chance and created man, knowing of all those who went to hell, there would still be a lot that would serve him and follow him and love him back as he responds, that he loves us and we respond back to him. That's why no matter how low you get, how bad you mess up, I don't care how far you fall, how whatever sin you, I don't care. He shows up and loves you. He said, come here. I want to love you. And we think, well, he's supposed to be mad at me. But he's not mad. I love you. And by loving us, we respond in love, and it heals us. But God created man because he wanted someone to rule with him. And he said, now then, I'm going to create man. He'll fall. I'll send my son to show mankind and show the universe, show everything that's created, even show the angels how much I love. And the angels, Randy was telling me about Billy Brim's book. I said, I wish you'd told me this Friday night. Where she got a revelation of that, where what is man that are mindful of him, where angels said that, and angels were looking into that when God created man and said, what is this man? What is this man? You see, angels can't sing like you sing. They're watching us today, and they're amazed at what we do, how we cry. Angels can't cry. I don't think. Why would they have to cry about it? They don't have nothing to cry about. They look at us and we're crying. Think, why are they crying? What is that? Why are you crying? I'm so glad. I'm so happy. God has saved me. They can't sing that. That the Bible says in Revelation, we'll have a new song. What song? Song of redemption that ring through heaven. And he redeemed us, and he showed man and give us his word. And he said, now, I'm going to put you through some tests. I'm going to let you go through some trials. And I'm going to let see, and I'm going to let you go through all of that so you will come out and prove that you can rule. Prove that you can take charge and rule in life through one Christ Jesus, what the Bible says. That you would rule and reign in life through one Christ Jesus. Not be ruled over, but rule. Why do you think he said we're overcomers? Why do you think he said we're more than conquerors? He has watching man. And he's watching us, and we go through all these things, and he says, come on, you use my word now. The Holy Ghost is with you. Get up, take authority, rule, rule. Show me you can rule. And as he watches us, he picks. I believe he picks those, according to Matthew 25, He picks those who will sit in rulership with him in different positions in eternity. The devil wants to keep us wimps and little wimps. And, I just need a hug. I just need a hug. Well, that's all right for babies. Can you imagine when you get there ruling and reigning with Jesus and he puts you in charge of something and he comes back to see what you're doing? You say, I just need a hug. Man, only man will be above angels. He said in one scripture, don't you know that Matthew chapter, that you'll rule angels? That you'll boss angels around? Only mankind will sit with God Almighty, the creator of the universe, to rule with him. Nothing else. He said, look at my creation. And when you look at them, you see me. Well, who are you? That's why he said, the whole world will know me if you love one another. Satan says, well, that bunch is not going to love each other. That's your special people, according to Peter. A special people. You say they're special. You say they'll rule with you. You say that they'll love one another. Watch this. So he comes in, and about 2 or 3 weeks, the church is tore all to pieces. You got everybody gossiping, everybody slandering each other, everybody talking behind each other's back. I hate the preacher. He made me mad. He's offended me. I'm leaving. They're gone. And Satan reports back to God and says, I've considered your servant. They're weak. I beat them like a drum. He said, but have you considered my servant, Ron Pittman? Oh, yes. Many times he's considered me. Just like he's considered you. He considered you this morning when you got up and decided whether or not you was going to church. And some people he considered out of here. You think it's not a fight? This is a fight we're in. Only we are the only creations that war against the devil. Nothing else fights against God's adversary except man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? We're his creation, made in his likeness, made in his image, proven by God Almighty that he loves us. I am loved. How do you know Jesus died for me? God himself died for me. How could God redeem us if he didn't know anything about us? And God made man, then he made another man to die for man. He didn't create a dog to die for a dog. I heard a fellow say the other day, I was listening to a video and said he'd been to heaven, and you'll be glad to hear this. He says that your pets are in heaven. But he also said something that I highly disagree with. He said, because your pets are redeemed like man. He says, they have a spirit like man. I thought, you never read the Bible, brother. If you went somewhere and got that revelation, it wasn't heaven. Dogs have a soul. They don't have a spirit. Dogs don't need to be redeemed. Neither does cats. Only man's redeemed. Yes. Only man is highly exalted. Only man is cared for like we are. Yes. Nothing else in this whole universe. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, and I look, then I see man. What is man? Or the angel says, what is man? Who is this man? And God said, that man will rule with me one day. You see, it doesn't matter what you believe. Pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, here trib, there trib, everywhere trib. I'm talking about the rapture. It doesn't matter what you believe about when it take place. It's going to take place. And whether we're in heaven 7 years, 3.5 years, or 3 minutes. Some people believe that We're going to stay here. We're going to get everything worked out. Jesus is going to come down halfway. We're going to be lifted up, go halfway to meet him, and we're going to talk to him there, then come straight back to earth. So we do that, fine meet. Some people believe we're going half through the tribulation and we're going up 3.5 years. Fine meet. Some believe we're going to miss the whole tribulation. I'll take that part. And we'll go up there and stay 7 years. That's fine with me. But no matter what you believe, you're coming back to this earth. And you'll stay here 1,000 years. The Bible says to rule and reign with the one that redeemed us and showed us his love. And the battles we fought and all the things we went through proved to him we can rule. Proved to him, hey, I can do this job. I can do it. I've overcome. To him that overcome will I grant to be seated. To him that overcomes. That's not everybody. Then we'll come and say, hey, I can do that job, Lord. We're training for reigning now. Schooling for ruling. And we'll come back to the earth for 1,000 years. We'll have position with him. And we'll rule and reign with him. And after that 1,000 years over, he'll take us back up. He'll destroy the earth and the heaven. That's just over us, not the whole universe. Then he'll create a new heaven and a new earth. And on that new earth, there'll be no oceans. There'll be only lakes and rivers, and it'll be beautiful. There'll be no trace of man, what man did. You see, when we come back after the tribulation, this world, different places, is going to be a mess. It's going to take a long time to clean it up. You see, God started, his original plan was, in the Garden of Eden, was to create man, and that man was to have kids, and they were to repopulate the earth, because Satan had messed everything up, to repopulate the earth and rule and reign with him. Satan came, deceived Eve right off the bat. She fell, had to have a redeemer, wasn't plan B. As the original plan of God for the creation. We were redeemed, brought back into the fullness of God, and now we put Satan under our feet. But God never changes his mind. He never says, well, I've got a plan B if plan A fails. No, plan A didn't fail because we're going back. The millennial reign will be exactly the way it started in day one with Adam. That's what the millennial reign will be. It will be that perfect peace, perfect healing, there'll be no devil, there'll be nothing, and we will cultivate the earth, we will clean the earth up, bring it back to its original state, what God originally intended, but he'll still have all this stuff and man's pollution that man did for all these 6,000 years. And after we run it like God intended for it to be run in the original intent, rule and reign with him. Jesus will be our big brother, like he is now, but he's our Lord, you know. We'll be co-laborers with him. We'll work alongside of him. And we'll have an assignment. We'll run this earth. Then after that, we go up. He makes a new earth. We come back down, and the earth is our home for eternity. You'll be here on this earth for eternity. Why? Because the earth belongs to you. You belong to the earth. You were created out of the earth, and to the earth you will return. And the earth will return to you. The earth's our home. You're not going to live in heaven. Well, that's got a good amen. The earth will be heaven. It's our planet. It was Satan's planet. He fell, now it's our planet. God created us to replace him. His job was to praise and worship leader from the earth. Our job is to replace him with praise and worship. Our job is to replace him by ruling this earth. We are now the church, a prototype of what the millennial will be. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
And this earth is our home. We're going to have a spot here somewhere. will always be here. This is ours. Co-laborers with Jesus Christ, God our Father, our precious Father. Nothing else in creation can call him Father. You're the only thing that knows him as Father. Angels do not know him as Father. Amen? Animals don't know him as Father. He created you. You call him Father. Amen? You're special. So special. There's not anything in all of creation like you. Nothing. Why do you think Satan fights you so hard? He hates you. Because you are the expressed image of God's love. And he says, the only way I can get back at God is to get at you. I'll get your creation. God doesn't want Satan hurting animals, but it doesn't bother him like it does you. Amen? Animals are ours to attend to. You attend to animals. They're here for your pleasure. Animals are. Dogs, cats, horses, pigs, mules, chickens. They're here for your pleasure. We're here for his pleasure. We're the only thing in creation that's above it all. Well, stand up with it. That help you make sense? You're so loved. You're so loved. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Made in the image of God. In his likeness and his image. His likeness, your body is like him. Your image, your spirit is the image of God. Just like perfect image. Body, we all have a different looking body. Which one looks just like God? None of us. We look like him. In fact, we got arms and legs and head and eyes and stuff. He does. But the perfect, his image, our spirit is just like him, our likeness. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Are you glad? Father, we thank you today that you love us above everything. What is man, Lord? Why did you create us? You created us to show your love to the world, to creation, to the heavens. Angels look at us and wonder, what is that? That man, what is this man? There's nothing like him. Nothing like us. We're the apple of his eye. We're tattooed, embedded in the palms of his hand. He loved us so much that God himself gave his very self, his son, to die for us. That's the most expressed love than anything that's ever given itself. Greater love hath no man than to lay down its life for his friend. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Maybe in billions of years, Lord, we can start figuring out just how much you love. Thank you for blessing the people today. Thank you for helping them. Thank you for giving us hope where there seems to be no hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Oh, Penny, God say something.